Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 to get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET.
Hi-yo, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 254. Going to go out to a familiar and regular contributor to the sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord, Big Sizzle, who we have not dedicated an episode to, and Gumby suggests that we do, because we appreciate all you degens in the Discord. So this goes out to Big Sizzle. Thanks for being part of the MMA Gambling Podcast fam. I am the father of the family, perhaps, Jeff Jocks Fox. Thank you for coming to the show. It's one of our Monday episodes, which means won't be covering UFC. And sadly, it's not a Dana White Contender Series time of year either. So we have to go to Gumby's next favorite promotion to cover, Bellator. This was my co-host Gumby Vreeland's decision to cover Bellator in this episode. So he cannot complain that we are covering Bellator. It's actually a decent Bellator event. We got a couple title fights. We got some Grand Prix tournament stuff. Got some other household names. Maybe if you're a hardcore MMA fan, household names. Let's bring in Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He will tell us why we want to talk about this episode. Hello.
So first of all, I will allow you to be the father, because I'm more like the beloved uncle of the podcast.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Figure you're not old enough to be fathers to all the people in the Discord either.
No, I'm probably younger than some of them. But you could. By the way, that's a good alt title, beloved uncle.
Yep.
And the reason I went with Bellator this week, not a whole lot of regional MMA. I know there's an LFA out there for you LFA heads. There wasn't odds yet for LFA. And while I'm good at guessing them, it is a much more fun show when we can break down specific odds and what I like on them. So if you are still interested in getting some LFA content or some LFA thoughts of mine, make sure you get in that aforementioned Discord. I'll be talking about Alfonso Leyva and Chris Brown in there at some point in time for the vacant welterweight LFA championship, as well as a couple other cool fights on that card, too. So hop in there and I'll give you my thoughts. And that's probably the best advertisement. Also, they lost their real good main event for this weekend's LFA. It was originally supposed to be, do you know Jamie Lynn Horth?
She used to go by
I think Jamie Lynn Horth Wessels, but
I know Jamie Lynn Spears.
Nope, not the same. But she was supposed to fight for the 125-pound title against Sabina Mazo in the main event.
I know her. Oh yeah, I saw that on the card. Yeah.
Well, it was originally supposed to be on the card, and I think Mazo had to pull out. So they're just rescheduling it so that those two can fight for the title again. So that's why we skipped LFA. But you can still obviously get thoughts. And this Bellator card doesn't suck.
That's about it. That's about as good a recommendation as you're going to get from Gumby for a Bellator card. It is Bellator 289, Stotts versus Sabatello. It's going down on the 9th, which is Saturday, or is that a Sunday? It is a Friday. Going down on Friday, Mohegan Sun Arena, Uncasville, Connecticut. A younger Gumby would have gone down to watch this event probably and cover it, but not anymore. You can't be bothered, right?
Yeah, live event coverage is – I actually was talking with somebody recently about this. Live event coverage is not as fun as people make it sound.
No, well, you're working, so yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes you miss fights because you're backstage doing an interview or punching up results, and it's not as fun as watching from home or being in the stands as a fan. I like being in the stands as a fan.
Yep, better. Anything's better than working, right? Even when it's a job that you enjoy. So, all right. So it's, like I said, Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern is the prelims, I guess it would be, which are on YouTube, and then the main card's on Showtime. Or if you're in Canada, it's all on YouTube for free. And yet I still like, do I really want to bother watching Bellator?
This one you might. This one's pretty good.
Yeah, I jump in and out as I please and as the event, whether it attracts me. There are some household names, as I said, off the top. So, yeah, so we've got a interim title fight because Sergio Pettis is injured, right? That's why we got
correct.
Interim. All right, and they didn't strip him. So it's an interim title fight as well as a Bellator Bantamweight World Grand Prix Tournament semifinal bout is the top fight on the card. Rufian Stotts, who is the interim champ, versus Danny Sabatello. Like I said, this is also a semifinal fight. So the winner will go on as the interim champion to the finals of the Grand Prix and then possibly win the Grand Prix and then reunite the belts with Sergio Pettis. So I'm going to tell you about Sabatello. Did you know he's an Italian gangster?
We're starting at the main event. Is that
Wait a minute. That's
Jesus,
right.
Man. You're throwing me for a loop.
It's been so long since, it's not been so long. We just did a recap of UFC where we do it the other order. You're right. Let's start with.
God, you're killing me.
Prelim fight, okay? Featherweights. Cody Law, Chris Lencioni. You were worried I was going to miss this one, right? Is that why?
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to miss Sunshine.
Chris Sunshine, exactly. Lencioni. Is it Lencioni? Is it a hard C?
Lencioni.
Lencioni. I was right the first time, kind of. He's 9-3. With 5 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 4-2 in Bellator. He's won 2 straight fights in 5 of 6. This is actually he hasn't been in Bellator for a little while now. So the 4-2 was from earlier on in his career. He's been fighting outside of Bellator, but he's back now. He did win his last fight via submission. Used to fight at lightweight. He's got 2 inches height, 2 inches of reach on Law, plus 245. Cody Law, 6-1, 4 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. 6-1 in Bellator. So his whole career has been in Bellator. Did lose his last fight. He was a wrestling champion before all this in college/university, -275.
Yeah. So Lencioni, for people who don't know, left Bellator for a specific reason. He left Bellator because he had an opportunity to fight on FAC 12, which might not exist anymore.
RIP FAC.
I mean, maybe it will. I've got all kinds of theories about that we won't get into today, but it might not exist anymore. But he had a chance to fight on it when it was looking for a fight with Dana White coming. Yeah. So they got him an opponent real quick. That opponent wound up being Shameless Don Shaynes, who you might know now as being in the UFC. And he beat the hell out of Lencioni. And mostly the way he beat Lencioni is the way that everybody who's ever beat Lencioni has beaten Lencioni. It's he controlled him and stayed away from submissions. And really, if you control him and stay away from submissions, that's all you need to do to beat him. That's what Tywon Claxton did back in the day to beat him. And that's what Don Shaynes did. And the thing about Cody Law is Cody Law fights very safe. He's a good boxer. He's got good ground and pound. He's got a little bit of wrestling in there. I mean, like, he's got a lot of bit of wrestling in there. I'm pretty sure he comes from a wrestling college wrestling background, although not like super super high level. So like, he's a guy who is going to stay safe against like a kind of crazy jiu-jitsu guy who's going to try like weird heel hooks and stuff and wound up eating ground and pound as a result. So yeah, give me Cody Law here, despite the fact that line is a little wider than I would have liked. What did you say you had it at?
-275.
Yeah, last night. Little wider than I would like, but yeah, I still like Cody Law on this one.
All right, Cody Law is the pick, and the pick for you for all your gambling needs is WynnBET. Not my best transition, but we'll go with it anyhow. Ready to win, better than my transition in the last podcast, which was WynnBET. Ready to win money and boost your odds. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. Need to take a breath. There's so many provinces. Wow, I'm talking very Canadian. So many states that they are in now. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Wynn Rewards on WynnBET. Looking to get involved in the same game parlay? Who is it? WynnBET is your home with their WynnBET Build Your Own Bet, letting you customize the bet you want to make. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. WynnBET has what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, win $100. So much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET Claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, we're going to jump up to the main card now. Dalton Rosta versus Anthony Adams in a middleweight fight will open up the Showtime portion of the card. Sugarfoot Adams, we'll tell you about first. Sugarfoot, excuse me. There's no R in there. It's Sugarfoot. He's 9-2 with one knockout. Never been finished in a fight. So he's gone to the distance many, many times. 10 times to be exact. One known Bellator. He's not fought since September of 2021. He's gone 2-2 over his last four. He went 0-2 in the Contender Series. Used to fight at welterweight. Inch of height, 2 inches of reach on Rosta, plus 550. Dalton Rosta, Hercules. And if you look at his picture on Tapology, my God, he is a Hercules. 7-0 with four knockouts. He's all of those fights have been in Bellator. He won his last fight via knockout. Used to fight at light heavyweight, 7 years younger than Adams, minus 750, a typical Bellator matchup here.
Yeah. By the way, have you seen, so you mentioned Anthony Adams 0-2 on Contender Series. He may have fought the two hardest names ever to say in the history of Contender Series.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. But
it was Impa Kasangane was one of them, and the other one was Chibwikikem Oyenechitewa.
Even hard for you.
Yeah, it's tough. So yeah, 0-2. This is another showcase fight for Dalton Rosta. I think they love Dalton Rosta, if I'm being honest. And what's, like you said, what's not to love? Not only does he hit hard, does he have he's got like a fairly well-rounded game for a dude who looks like he does and comes from, you know, this is another guy who comes from a wrestling background and you know, has shown not only does he have great ground and pound and great control on the ground, but when he fought Romero Cotton, he knocked him out with a nasty left hook. So, like, he's up against Anthony Adams, a guy who's, you know, kind of been a journeyman and has had issues with, you know, dudes who can outstrike him and tries to, you know, bully a little bit and box a little bit and has, you know, just had a lot of fights fall through. And, yeah, he's in here to get beat up by Dalton Rosta. I think they're going to succeed in letting him get beat up by Dalton Rosta. Do I love the line? I mean, I don't. I'm going to be looking for props on Dalton Rosta to finish him probably, because ultimately I think that's how this one goes down, is Rosta, who, you know, can get quite a few decisions, but you might be able to find a decent finish line here for him, and that's a little bit more playable.
Okie dokie. Moving on to one half of the Bantamweight World Grand Prix Tournament semifinals. Patchy Mix versus Magomed Magomedov. I will tell you about Patchy first. Patchy No Love Mix. Patchy War Ready Mix. Patchy is already a nickname, so he's really got three nicknames. Mix is 16-1, one knockout, 11 submissions, never been finished in a fight, 5-1 in Bellator. He's won three straight fights. He's missed weight in the past. He was the King of the Cage champion, 2 years younger than Magomedov, 5 inches taller, 3 inches of reach on him, plus 125. Magomed Tiger Magomedov. 19-2. It wouldn't it be better if his nickname was Magomed as well? That would have been much better. Magomed Magomedov.
Or maybe Mago.
Magomed Mago Magomedov. Yes, I approve. That could be a good title for the episode as well. But he's going by Tiger. 19-2. Four knockouts, nine submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 3-1 to Bellator. Won his last fight via submission. He was the ACB champion before this. Used to fight at, this is going to take a little while, featherweight, lightweight, and welterweight. So he's been fighting, what, 35 pounds heavier than this in the past. 2011, I'm having trouble speaking, but 2011, that's not hard to say, was his MMA debut professionally, minus 145.
I'm actually going to go dog here with Patchy Mix. I'm going to go against our good friend Munaf Manji's number one rule in betting MMA, which is never bet against the guy whose last name ends in OV. And here I am betting against the guy who has a last name that ends in OV. Because I like Patchy Mix here for a couple of reasons. You mentioned, you know, the height and reach advantage I think is going to come into play here. He's also like, while he might not be as talented of a wrestler as Magomedov, he is craftier on the ground, I think. You know, he's submitted James Gallagher. He submitted Albert Morales. I mean, he beat Koji Horiguchi. Like, I think Magomedov is probably not as good as Horiguchi, and he dealt with Horiguchi just fine. So I like the creativity of Mix. I think, you know, the fact that he's so good on the ground that, like, if he's winning on the feet, I don't think Magomedov is going to like where it goes next. So, yeah, give me Mix with the dog money.
There you go. You know Gumby's going to come through with at least one dog for you. Sometimes they win. I want to say normally they win, but we'll just say sometimes they win. Then there's no pressure, right?
Yeah. They
occasionally
on the regional scene, they do pretty good.
Yeah, it's true. This is regional, right?
I would classify anything that's out of Uncasville, Connecticut as regional. Yeah.
Yes. How is the Mohegan Sun Arena in Uncasville, by the way?
It's not bad. That's in the Mohegan Sun Casino. Right. So yeah, it's not bad. It's better than Twin River Casino, which
yo,
is where
shout out to Twin Rivers.
CEF holds their events. So sorry for dunking on Twin River every time I get a chance.
It's true. We had fun with them. Hardcore listeners, longtime listeners, remember that. All right. So that was the Patchy Mix fight. Now we're going to go to the co-main event, which is for a strap, a championship. Women's flyweight, Liz Carmouche, who's the champion, in a rematch, immediate rematch versus Juliana Velasquez. I'll tell you about the challenger first. Velasquez, 12-1, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. She'd been knocked out once, 7-1 to Bellator, used to be the champion until last fight where she got TKO'd versus Carmouche. Used to fight at bantamweight. This one is flyweight. Was regional champ as well. 2 years younger than Carmouche. Inch taller, 2 inches of reach on her. -185. The challenger is the favorite here. Gorilla Liz Carmouche, 17-7, 8 knockouts, 3 submissions. Been submitted twice. The only time she's been stopped in her career. 4-0 in Bellator, and she is the champion now. An improbable run. Won her last 2 fights via TKO. She went 5-5 in the UFC. Had Ronda Rousey in a, I don't know if it was a rear naked choke, but it was a face crank at the very least, a standing one, and had her in a bit of trouble in a title fight. But that's her claim to fame up to this point, because she used to fight up at bantamweight as well. 2-0 in Invicta, 2-2 in Strikeforce. 2010 was her pro MMA debut, +160.
You want to know what's funny about this? Is Liz Carmouche in their first fight was +120 as an underdog.
Yeah,
she won.
Yeah,
and she's +160 now, which is pretty wild. And I don't know if you remember when we broke down, that was Bellator 279. That was back in April. I picked her to beat Juliana Velasquez back then because I thought her wrestling would carry the day. It didn't as much as I thought it would, but it did give her that really cheap TKO towards the end. And I'm gonna take her again here. I get why the number went up. I get why she went from a +120 dog to a +160 dog. I totally get that. But
explain why, in case some people don't.
She didn't look great in that fight, right? Like, her wrestling was not as dominant as I thought it would be. She was losing the fight and by pretty much everybody's account, and she got a TKO stoppage that, let's be honest, it was one of the earliest stoppages I've seen in a while. In you know, me and you have said before, it doesn't feel like anything is an early stoppage, right? You're protecting the fighter. This was an early stoppage. This was a very early stoppage.
Remember it. So there you go.
Yeah, you can go back and watch it. If you haven't seen it, you can probably find it on YouTube or something like that. But it's just like a really early stoppage. So as a result, she goes from being a decent-sized dog at +120, right, to a even larger dog at +160. And I still think, like, the path to victory is there for her, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that I think, you know, for sure she's going to repeat and get, like, a weird TKO stoppage, or, you know, her wrestling is suddenly way better. She's, like, what did you say her age is now? It's not young.
Neither of them are young, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is, if she was up against somebody who I was like, you know, they're a young killer who's going to, like, turn something around and be even better this time, you know, like, maybe I would favor Velasquez, but, like, I just don't see that about her. Like, I'm impressed by her, and I think she's good and all that, but, like, I don't think she's, like, so overwhelmingly good that, like, she couldn't get out-wrestled again here, and at +160, I'm willing to pull that trigger.
There you go. Back-to-back dogs. That's what everyone loves the Gumby for, even though my picks are always better. But nonetheless, just not for Bellator, because I abstain. I abstain from this regional stuff. I'm above all this. All right, main event, which I tried to jumpstart and get this episode over with right away.
Yeah, you're trying to end Bellator because you know how much I want. By the way, I have after we talk about the main event too, I have some sneaky ones on the prelims that you guys should keep an eye on.
Okay, good.
So don't go away,
people. If you're still here, if they're still here, they're not going anywhere. Dan, come on, their heart goes ready. So I already did the win bet read. Yes, right. Yeah, I did that.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Yeah, you did.
All right, let's plow through then the main event, Ralphian Stotts. Is it Ralphian? I always say his name wrong.
I think it's Rufian.
It's Rufian Stotts versus Danny Sabatello, who is an Italian gangster, as I told you before. This one is for, as I said, the interim Bellator Bantamweight Championship, and it's to punch their ticket into the finals of the World Grand Prix, which Gumby says will be against Patchy Mix. So we'll tell you about Sabatello first. 13-1, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out once, 3-0 in Bellator, won 7 straight fights. He's not lost since December of 2019. He went 1-0 on the Contender Series, and he did not get into the UFC. The man he beat is in the UFC, though, Dan.
Wow.
No, actually, not the man he beat. I'm sorry. He beat Damon Blackshear after that, and Damon Blackshear's in the UFC now. So, like I said, Titan. He was a Titan FC champion as well. That was the Blackshear fight. 5 years younger than Stotts, 3 inches height on him, plus 135. Supa Stotts, S-U-P-A. Is 18-1, 4 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out once, 6-0 in Bellator. He is the interim champion. He's won 10 straight fights, won his last fight via knockout. He's not lost since June of 2017. He was a regional champion. He also was a wrestling champion in college. 3 inches of reach on Sabatello, despite the height discrepancy, minus 155.
Yeah, I'm going to go, we'll go favorite here. I like Stotts for a couple of reasons. Number one, is Sabatello has kind of made his way with like some really good wrestling, right? Like that's kind of been his thing. That's how he won on Contender Series and why he didn't get a contract. That's how he beat somebody like Damon Blackshear. You know, he's only real finishes on his record, unless you go way, way back, or submissions. Like he's a guy who gets it done on the ground. And I just don't see him out wrestling a two-time D2 champion in wrestling, right? Like, Stotts is not like a sort of good grappler. Like, he's a very good grappler, and I think he's maybe even a little bit more polished on the feet. I think, you know, he's coming off of a head kick knockout. He himself has shown he has more dangerous hands from time to time. And actually, like, when it hits the ground, I think he's a better finisher. So yeah, give me Stotts here. I actually think the mouth on Danny Sabatello has run this line into a place where I think Stotts is actually being undervalued.
Ah, you think he's talking his way into a better line?
I think so. People love Sabatello. Like, Sabatello, yeah. And I think he's kind of annoying, but like, whatever. What he's doing is bringing attention to Bellator, which is more than Bellator's PR team does. So that's pretty impressive.
Oh, burn.
Did you happen to catch that part? Speaking of dunking on Bellator in an episode that's entirely about Bellator. Did you happen to catch the piece about Josh Thompson? You know Josh Thompson, announces for Bellator. When they announced the Ryzen versus Bellator event at the end of the year, did you hear what he said on social media?
No.
What did he say? It is up to the media now to hype up and publicize this event.
Yes. Well, we're going to do our part, right? There's nothing else to
there's nothing
else for us to cover, so I'm sure we'll be covering it, right? We're going to be covering it on the website for sure. We'll talk about it.
But also, they have a PR team.
Yeah, it's true. But apparently, that's a issue with MMA promoters, especially Dana White. They think that the media is just there to do their bidding, and many prominent members of MMA media are just there to do Dana White's PR work for him. But nonetheless, not us, Dan. We crap on everyone. We're not afraid.
Well, you crap on UFC cards most of the time. I do. I'm the apologist in this one.
That's true.
Remember that. Yeah,
that's true. All right. So we'll recap his picks, and he's going to give you some sneaky. He promised us some sneaky good undercard picks. Stotts, Carmouche underdog, Mix underdog. I almost said Adams. So that would be a step too far even for Gumby. Rasta and Law. So Law, Rasta, Mix, Carmouche, Stotts. Okay, you got sneaky stuff for us now?
Yeah, so there's some prelim fights where I think there's some value to be had, either in turning them into parlays, or there might be kind of like a fun, plucky underdog who's worth, like, you know, throwing your pizza money on if you're looking for something a little bit extra. So the first one that I want to point out here is it's one of the more publicized prelims, but Yara Joanne is fighting Denise Kielholz. In a women's straw weight, am I calling that one right? Women's straw weight fight. And personally, I'm in a flyweight.
Yep.
Damn. I'm in a spot where I'm fading Denise Kielholz, in a lot of positions here. She's a kickboxer. She comes from a kickboxing background. And we've seen every single time she stepped in there with anybody who can grapple her to any extent, she loses. She lost to Kana Watanabe. She lost to Juliana Velazquez. She lost to Vida Arteaga. That one was a standing guillotine choke. All of them have largely been being put on her ass or being choked from a bad position. And Yara Joanne, you know, not maybe the most polished Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter of all time, but she does come from the Pitbull team. She's just coming off of a win over Alejandra Lara. She herself has, like, won many times by submission. Like, she knee-barred Beck Rollins back in the day. So, like, she has a good enough submission game and a good enough ground game where I think she's going to handle Kielholz pretty well. And that line is at plus 145 for Joanne. So that's, like, kind of a fun underdog to look into. There's also a handful of, like, nice favorites here that are great. Parlay fuel. Randy Fields should win her fight super, super easy. Patrick Downey's negative 1500, but, like, you could probably throw him in something or look for him by finish. He's an incredible wrestler, and you should see him just, like, steamroll his next eight opponents. And I also really like Kyle Krutschmer, who is a, like, negative 280 favorite. You could throw those in parlays too. And then the last one that I'll just throw out there while I'm throwing out random things too. I don't hate a play on this guy named Cass Bell, who's coming off of back-to-back losses, and they are then pairing him with Jared Scoggins, which you might remember fought in LFA a few times, and he's the brother of, what's the other Scoggins' name?
Justin
Scoggins, yes. So it's Jared Scoggins. I think Scoggins is getting a little bit of rub by having his brother's name, but he's only fought once in the last 2+ years, and it was a loss to Josh Hill. Who I don't particularly think of being a particularly strong prospect. So he hasn't really fought very recently. He hasn't looked very good in the last fight that he did have. And this Cass Bell guy was 5-0, heavily hyped by Bellator, and he's coming off of back-to-back losses, but it's back-to-back losses against Ralphian Stotts and Jornel Lugo, who are both pretty good dudes. So I think he's like a sneaky pick here because he's got really good ground and pound. He's got really good submission skills on the ground. He's fought some pretty decent dudes on the regional circuit. So, like, and he's got a really, despite only having 7 professional fights, he's got a really long amateur career. So Cass Bell right now against Scoggins, plus 430. So, like, if you're looking for, you know, something to throw the pizza money on, you got him and Joanne on the prelims along with a whole bunch of fun favorites.
That'll buy you lots of pizza. You can have a pizza party, Dan, if you hit that one.
Yes. Yes, the Cass Bell Pizza Party is also a great title name.
All right, no, that one's taken over.
Cass Bell Pizza Party?
Yes, sir. All right, do you want to recap the biggest promotion in the world before we get out of the door? One, and how your picks did? Not so good.
Yeah, I can pull up the results from one. So remember, it was annoyingly a two-fight card that we – or two-card – I don't know how you want to break this down. There were two different fight cards going on, one on Friday, one on Saturday, all at super weird times.
A couple hours, actually, right?
Yeah, all at weird times because one of them was in Singapore and the other one was in the Philippines? I think Philippines.
But they had it. They were aiming for us North Americans, I think, with that card. So that's why the time was different.
I think you're right. So on that one, the one in the Philippines, the first fight I picked actually wound up going to a no contest. Roberto Soldic, who I had picked against and took Miraz Ramazanov, ended in a no contest when Ramazanov kneed Soldic in the balls so hard that the fight had to be stopped.
Soldic in the
They got him right in the soul.
There you go. I was trying to set you up for something good there, but yeah, yes.
that would be a not so a bad title either, right in the soul. No, dick.
There's Castel, so many. We have far too many.
Castel Pizza Party and right in the soul. Dick. And then in the main event, I took Rainier DeRuiter against Anatoly Melik, and Malikan looked good.
We love that line too. Like, we were wondering why the line was where it was, but apparently we didn't know what we were talking about.
Yeah. And it wound up being that it was at heavyweight, which was part of it.
Come on. It was for real.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it was. I guess they called it light heavyweight, but they were 235.
Okay, but it was for the light heavyweight belt then?
I don't know. I can't follow what the hell.
Yeah, that's the problem with
weight. But I saw a weigh-in and they were like, Malikan makes weight at 230, and I was like, what the hell is going on? So I was like, I don't know how to. That's why you don't bet one. And then on the other card, I went 2-1, so that brings me to a total of 2-2 with a cancellation. Yong Hu surprisingly knocked out Gigi Esquino, which was weird to me because I thought he was the biggest problem with him was that he didn't have the striking advantage. Amir Ali Akbari made Brandon Vera look like the old inactive fighter that he is. He threw one elbow. It hit Vera in the face from guard, and then he turtled up and didn't want any more of that. So that was a win for me. And then Jared Brooks, who I claimed was the best fighter not in the UFC right now, showed why I believe he's the best fighter not in the UFC anymore by dominating Joshua Pasio and taking like a 78-pound flyweight belt. So big win for Brooks there. 2-2 with one no contest night overall. Not terrible. Kind of wish I hit the Who one in retrospect, but apart from that, pretty fun fights overall, at least with the finishes and whatnot.
Hit the Who one would also be a good title. We have far too many titles, right?
I think Castbell. I think it's Castbell.
Yeah, no, of course. That one's ridiculous. We should get shirts of that over at the store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We need some Castbell Pizza Party shirts. Castbell, wonder what we're talking about, but anyhow, that's enough talk. Non-UFC, don't you think? Yes. We'll be back on Wednesday with UFC pay-per-view breakdown. Thursday, UFC main card breakdown. Sorry, prelims on Wednesday, main card on Thursday. Discord, we told you about, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Twitter, SGP and MMA. Gumby runs our Twitter account. He also has his own, Gumby Vreeland, and I have one, Jeff Fox Writer. I have a Substack that you should subscribe to and enter my pick'em contests and read all my stuff. It's money. MMA.substack.com. And we also do lots of lovely writing about many sports over at sportsgumbypodcast.com. So make sure you read all that stuff as well. And we'll tell you more about Gumby's Top Turtle MMA podcast later on in the week. But like I said, we're going to bid you farewell now. And Gumby's going to actually be the one that bids you farewell this time.
All right. I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's the Italian gangster, Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Wednesday.